we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, I Know Whom I Have Believed, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through 1 and 2 Timothy. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
I am excited about this section of text that we're in, because we are not in this text by accident. We are not in this text on this particular day, at this particular time, and this particular text. We're all put together by God. I'm excited for what God has for us next time when we get together to for Women's Bible Study in January, and I'll have that date for you next week. But as we pray over what, Lord, what direction do you want to go in? And we look into, we go through books of the Bible. We just go through the Bible and teach the Bible. And as we do that, the Lord reveals to us how, where he wants us to go. And it has always been right on. It has always been right on. We have always been exactly on the day that something like this has happened. So, Lord, thank you. Father, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would just right now take control of everything that's going on. Lord, the speed of things that are going through my head, and just be able to express the things that you are saying, Lord. I pray, Father, for the fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit, Lord, for an awareness of what you're saying to us, Lord, that we would hear from you and not be taken by anything else, Lord, but that we would hear from you. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So what we're talking about today are the last days. Paul was a watchman. You know, we talked before about what is a watchman. A watchman is a person who stands on the wall and warns us. He warns of things to come. And that's what Paul is doing to Timothy. Paul writes that perilous times will come. Guaranteed. He said, perilous times will come to you. The last days, and it says in the very first verse, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. The last days. How could it be the last days when he's talking and be the last days today? How is that possible? Well, the last days began the moment that Jesus came on this earth. The very moment that Jesus came on this earth, the last days began, and we are closer to the coming of the Lord than we have ever been before. We are closer to things being fulfilled than we've ever been before. It says in the last, man, by the way, I heard that Christmas was going to be canceled this year. And I heard somebody say, well, I guess there's just not going to be any Christmas this year. Oh, you are so wrong. Because Christmas is about what? When Jesus Christ came to this earth. When Jesus Christ was born, that's Christmas. Not the, if you want to go to Whoville, and you can understand that Christmas is not about the roast beast. It's not about all of the gifts. It's not about all these things. It is about Jesus Christ, which Whoville knows nothing about, but it's the birth of Jesus Christ, the beginning of the last days. I will celebrate Christmas. I will celebrate Thanksgiving. I will celebrate however I want. I hear the Lord saying, shut up, Joy. So moving right along, the last days began when Jesus Christ came to this earth. In Joel and in Acts 2, it says that in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all men. I will pour out my spirit, and he continues to pour out his spirit on all people. And that has happened at the day of Pentecost, and it's still happening today. Some are dreaming dreams. Some are seeing visions. I know that we've talked about those who have seen visions of holding up the wall and not being distracted and holding back the things by our prayers. And by the way, I mentioned it this morning about how David, and I know that I've told you before, how David, when his son was dying, he mourned, he fasted, he prayed, and when his son died, he washed his face, he got dressed, he got on with his life. And that's what I want to do as soon as that day comes. That day has not come for us right now. Right now, we need to be praying and fasting and lifting up things before the Lord. We need to be able to give these things to the Lord and find out what God is saying to us individually. So we need to be, if God puts on your heart to fast, please don't ignore that, because there is power in that when we concentrate on the things that God has for us to do and we listen to his voice and we walk in obedience. It will make a difference, because God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. So with that, there are many that are seeing visions. There are many that are dreaming dreams. This morning, Lisa Brubaker shared with us a dream that she had, and I wish I could remember all of it, so I won't tell you any of it because I'll mess up the whole thing. But I've been having dreams lately of things, and I know that I've shared some of those with you, and I know that God has a dream for you guys. He has a vision that he's going to give you. If you haven't heard from him in that way recently, God has it for you. And I sense that feeling of it's going to be a dream that you're going to look at and you're going to go, what in the world is this about? And God will reveal it to you. He's going to reveal to you that I have given you this dream, and I want you to share it with other people. So God is at work in each one of us, and we are in the last days. He is going to give us visions. He is going to give us dreams. And so as we move into our text today, verses 1 through 5 is actually a short version of Romans 1, 18 to 32. 1 through 5 is a short version of Romans 1, 18 to 32. And in light of Bible prophecy, we should expect... you know what? I want to tell you this before I go any further. Okay, so last night, I had a bunch of the stuff of my notes on the computer. And, you know, I go back on Monday nights and I take my handwritten stuff and I transfer that to what I've already been working on my computer. So last night I went to my computer with my written stuff and got everything organized, and my keyboard didn't work. It refused to respond. So I came early this morning, 5 o'clock this morning, and got up and got ready and got here so that I could type it all out and get it all together for this morning. So it was a night like any other. There was spiritual warfare going on. I recognize that. But you see, in spiritual warfare, there's nothing that stops us. There's nothing that stops us. We are all on active duty at all times. And we are ready for what God has for us. And so we pay attention to what he has for us. So in light of Bible prophecy, we should expect the intensity. We live in the last days. Any argument? Anybody have an argument? No, of course not. So in light of Bible prophecy, we should expect the intensity and frequency of these things will increase. And what are these things? They are, for men will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of money and boasters, and 1 through 5. That's what will be going on in those last days. And in that prophecy, the frequency of these things will increase until we have the situation portrayed in the book of Revelation. The total implosion of the social order as man totally rebels against God and destroys themselves in the process. We are headed toward the book of Revelation. And we are ready for that. Maybe that's why Jesus said, unless these days were shortened, no one would survive in Matthew 24:22. Unless these days were shortened, no man would survive. Let me read you the headlines from today. And so it says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Yes, this I did say. These are the headlines of today. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people we are to turn away. This is to, as we know, this is to Timothy. Those are the headlines that are going on right now today. Those are the very headlines that are going on right now today as we look around our country and around the world. In 1988, Carl Henry made a prediction in his book, Twilight of a Great Civilization. Twilight of a Great Civilization. And he said, as America progressively loses its Judeo-Christian heritage, paganism would grow bolder. What we saw in the last half of the 20th century was benign humanism. But he predicted that by the start of the 21st century, which started when? 2000? At the start of the 21st century, we would face a situation not unlike the first century when Christian faith confronted raw paganism, humanism with the pretty face ripped off, revealing the angry monster underneath. He wrote that in 1988. And we find ourselves in that place today. His words have come true and are coming to be more true every day, every passing day. Do you think God intended us to live this way? I don't think so. I don't think that God intended that. And so Paul warns Timothy, after I'm gone, things are going to get worse before they get better. Things are going to get worse before they get better. Jesus said, I told you these things beforehand so that when they come upon you, you are not taken by them. I've told you these things beforehand so that you will believe. The scriptures that back that up, there are three. John 16:4, John 14:29, and Mark 13:23. John 16:4. John 14:29, and Mark 13:23. He said, I've told you these things beforehand so that you're not taken by them. You're not deceived by them. You know what's going to happen. Perilous times, dangerous and difficult times. In verse 5, it says, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. That is, in the last days, it will be religion for religion's sake, not for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ. It will be religion for religion's sake and not for the purpose or the sake of knowing Christ. They will join, people will join religious organizations. They'll be baptized. They'll pray. They'll sing. They'll attend services as long as it's okayed by the governor. And they will sing and pray. And they'll go through the motions, but their hearts aren't in it. Their hearts aren't in it. They will deny the very power they profess. They will deny the very power they profess. They will embrace a religion that allows them to do anything, believe anything, endorse anything, live any way they choose, as long as it makes them happy. Let me say this, that is not in my notes. I have no patience with people who teach things that allow people to walk in this way and think that they're walking with God. I have no patience with people that would stand before a microphone and lead people purposely astray, not according to the will of God. So from such people turn away, Paul says. Oh, that's so politically incorrect, isn't it? All those things that I said, so politically incorrect, and that is my name, politically incorrect. I don't ever get it right. A little bit of religion, a form of godliness, a little religion will not save us. A little bit of religion will not save us. We must give our all. People made their own religion, and that will always put us in trouble. So of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt mind, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Speaking of Jannes and Jambres. And so make sure you know why you believe what you believe. Make sure you know why you believe what you believe. Don't just take it because somebody said it. Don't just take it because you read it somewhere. I look around and I find people that are reading things by people that are not walking with the Lord, and they just go, know why you believe that. Make sure that the Lord has given you that direction. And so in verse 8, when it talks about Jannes and Jambres were Egyptian magicians, and that's Exodus 7, verses 11 and 12. They opposed Moses by counterfeiting, by duplicating the plagues. Oh, fun, we can produce frogs. Oh, fun, we can produce the redness in the river that's full of blood. How fun is that? False teachers of Paul. There were false teachers in Paul's day. There are false teachers in our day. And the final days, there will always be false teachers. So know why you believe what you believe. Don't be a gullible woman. Know why you believe what you believe. Don't just take it at face value. False teacher success will be limited, and it will be temporary. God will make it clear on whose side he's on. Make it very clear. The waters that parted for Moses also drowned the Egyptian army. The waters that parted for Moses also drowned the Egyptian army. God saves his children and will come down in crushing judgment on false teachers, those who led people astray. So how are we to survive these perilous times that are coming? Paul tells Timothy, you were called by God to make a difference by standing strong. You were called by God to make a difference by standing strong. Don't be discouraged by world conditions. Don't let the world change you. You go out with God's power and with God's grace and with God's mercy, and you change the world. He wasn't just saying that to Timothy. He's saying that to every one of us. You go out and change the world. Don't let the world change you. You go out and change the world. You show them what it is to be a Christian, a true Christian. And so let me give you three practical survival strategies for these perilous times. And we're going to cover them in verses 10 through 13. Follow godly leaders. Follow godly leaders. In verses 14 and 15, continue in what you have learned. Verses 14 and 15, continue in what you have learned. And verses 16 and 17, let the word of God make you complete. Let the word of God make you complete. If we follow after the ungodly, we will become like the ungodly. If we follow the arrogant, we most likely will become arrogant. But if we follow those who are following Jesus, we will become more like Jesus because of those that we follow. And here Paul uses himself as an example in verses 10 through 13. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, persecutions, two different things. I tell you, in this world, you're gonna have tribulation. You're gonna have persecution in this world, so buckle up. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Do any of you guys still have those little things that you set on the table that have verses on them? You know, it has a daily bread, and there's a little verse, you pull out the little thing. Does anybody still have those that you use? Nobody. Oh, a couple of us, yeah. I have never seen that verse in there. I have never seen that in a promise box. I have never seen that verse that says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, and yet that's as true as any of the nice little scriptures. And that's why we teach through the Word, by the way, because I would rather teach you on all the fun things, all the nice little scriptures, all the just, oh, isn't it so nice how God loves us? Oh. But he says, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We have to learn the whole Word of God, the whole Word of God, not just a portion of it. And so he's using, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so he's used himself as an example for Timothy to follow. And these are the marks of the godly people we should follow. Number one, there are four of them. They have nothing to hide. You know my way of life, Paul would say. Number two, they teach the truth. You know my doctrine. Number three, they practice what they preach. You know my faith, my love, and my patience. And number four, they aren't afraid of persecution. You know my sufferings and my persecution. In Antioch, he was opposed. In Iconium, he was almost stoned. In Lystra, he was stoned and left for dead. Paul's point is find people like this and follow them. Find people like this and follow them. Godly people. And all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Evil men, in verse 13, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Evil men, imposters, magicians, soothsayers, or even, I love this, jugglers. Yes, in the first century, jugglers were traveling con men. Everything was rigged against you. And that's the way it is. The world is filled with religious charlatans who want more than your money. They want your soul. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Know the Word of God. Hide it deep in your heart. And so we don't give in to those. They will be there. They will always be around. And in verse 14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So continue in what you've been taught. Paul reminds Timothy that the Word of God gives confidence in days of difficulty. The Word of God gives confidence in the days of difficulty. How many of us have been more confident than ever when we've just gone to the Word of God and found out what God has to say to us? We are strengthened, we are empowered by the Word of God. and he tells Timothy to remember what you learned and who taught you. So three things about that. Remember what you learned and who taught you. So number one, consider your teachers. Pay attention to who you are allowing to teach you. And those who are allowing to teach you, ponder, number two, ponder their character. Ponder their character. And number three, think of their sacrifice. So consider your teachers, ponder their character, and think of their sacrifice. In verse 15, this is the doctrine of the sufficiency of the Holy Scriptures. The doctrine of the sufficiency of the Holy Scriptures. That's how it's said here, Holy Scriptures. Said another way, God's Word saves us. God's Word saves us. How does it save us? Four things. It saves us, number one, by the words that are written down, Holy Scriptures. In here is everything you will ever need. It is completely finished. It is completely settled. It is completely done. So God's Word saves us by the words that are written down, our Holy Scriptures. Number two, God's Word saves us by the wisdom in the written words. It's able to make you wise by the wisdom in the written words. Number three, God's Word saves us by the gospel the words reveal. Wise for what? For salvation. Wise for salvation. There's a purpose in that. And number four, God's Word saves us by the faith the gospel produces, through faith in Christ Jesus. Everything we need to know about going to heaven can be found right here. Everything that we need to know about going to heaven can be found written right in here. In this Bible, it tells us how to know God. The truth of the Word of God can save you, it can forgive you, it justifies you, it transforms you, it regenerates you, and direct you all the way to heaven. Show you the way to eternity. Show you the way to heaven. We had a good conversation this morning. I had a good conversation with one of the ladies, and we were talking about whether or not we're going to recognize people when we get to heaven. So I don't know how anybody else feels about that. I just know that the Word of God says we're going to be changed, and we're going to be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is, so we're going to be like Him, and we're going to have a new name, and so we're probably not all going to be old. And are we going to recognize each other? I don't know that we'll spend a lot of time trying to figure that out when we get there. When we get there, we're going, I'm here. I'm standing before God. I don't know that we'll be spending a lot of time figuring out, oh, where's Stephen? I don't know. Wait, I want to, no, I don't recognize that one. Maybe there. Oh, no. I don't think we'll be spending any time in heaven doing that. We'll be worshiping the Lord. We'll be worshiping at His feet. Exciting. But we know we'll see others in heaven. So everything we need to know about life with God can be found in the pages of this Bible. So learn it, hide it in your heart, get it deep down in your heart. The Bible is complete as it stands. It's a finished product that will produce in us a new life, a godly life, a fruitful life, a loving life, a Christ-like life, eternal life, the very life of God Himself. The Word of God will change us into His likeness. Let that Word of God soak into you. Let it be a part of who you are. Paul says that all Scripture, it says here that in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. A true translation of the Greek word that's used there is God-breathed. God-breathed. He says, all scripture is God-breathed. That's a literal translation from the Greek. So God breathed and Moses wrote. God breathed and David wrote. God breathed and Daniel wrote. God breathed and Matthew wrote. God breathed and Paul wrote. The very words of God. And only the very words of God. Well, I don't know. I think a preposition belongs in there. No, they didn't do that. Does a comma go there? What if you add a little word and there instead? No, they did what God breathed, what God spoke to them. That's what they wrote. Well, you can trust the word of God. Don't trust people who don't trust the word of God. There are pastors who don't believe that this is the true word of God. It's shocking. But that's not said of us. These are the word of God to us. This is our love letter. That's why we hide it in our heart, and that's why we keep holding on to it. God's word equips us. God's word tells us what's right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. So what's right, so that's in the teaching. So it says that it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So it tells us what's right in the teaching, tells us what's not right in the rebuking. It tells us how to get right in the correction, and it tells us how to stay right, training in righteousness. And so scripture is our GPS for our lives. Do you love GPSs? I have no sense of direction, absolutely none. Imagine my surprise the first time I used a GPS, and it took me on the 91 to get across Huntington Beach. Obviously, I did something wrong. I'm sure it was my fault, not hers. It's. It's not a she, it's an it. The GPS, the voice. That's the real voice, isn't it? Yeah, that's the original voice. So scripture is the GPS for our lives. It tells us the way to go. That's the doctrine. It tells us the problem when needed. For example, you're going the wrong way. Do they ever say you're going the wrong way? Whether recalculating, redirecting, blah, 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 or something like that. I remember one saying, you're going the wrong way. And what does it? And then what happens with that? It tells us the problem, reproof. It tells us how to deal with that problem. It corrects us. Make a U-turn. Turn around. Go the other way. You are going the wrong way. I told you to turn right there, but you didn't tell me to get into that lane. You should have told me sooner. I would have been over there, ready to go, but you waited till I was right there. Then you, oh, turn right, right now, right now, right now. And then it goes on. You go to the next block. It's turn right. You go past that. Turn right. I said turn right. You know, one of these days it's going to talk to us that way. Anyway, it tells us the right way to go, so it instructs us. So in a nutshell, here in chapter 3, here's chapter 3 in 4 bullet points. The world will get worse. Don't be surprised. The world will get worse. Don't be surprised. Number 2, tough times are coming. Don't be discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Don't allow it to discourage you. Number 3, it's easier to stand strong if you don't stand alone. It's easier to stand strong if you don't stand alone. I am shocked by the number of people who have been in nursing homes who have died from failure to thrive. Failure to thrive. Grown people, 70, 80, 90 years old, are failing to thrive. Why? Because they are alone. Because they're all alone. And so I saw this this article, I think it was an article, about in England, a school teacher saw the need in the nursing homes. And so she encouraged her class, and it was either, I think I read that he was a four-year-old, but he was writing letters, so he probably wasn't a four-year-old. Maybe it was fourth grade. I don't know. The number four was in there somewhere. And in his letters to this 93-year-old man, he kept saying, I want to meet you. Can I meet you? Can I see you? Can I see your face? And so that day came when they were able to see each other. And it was behind a glass, but the little boy showed a picture of the little boy and the 93-year-old man, and the joy on the faces of both of them as they saw each other. They knew each other because of the letters. So I want to encourage you, if the Lord puts on your heart to start writing to some of the people, find out addresses of some of the people that are in nursing homes, write letters to them, send them a card. Just send them a card. Maybe you're not a writer. I'm not a good writer. I pick out cards very carefully that say what I want to say, and then I sign my name. But do that if you want to. But just keep in touch with people. I do not do well when I have a lot of days at home by myself because I don't talk at all. You know, I have my time in the Word, but I notice as the day goes on, I'm just very quiet. And when I'm very quiet, what happens when you're very quiet? Oh, the wheels are turning. It's causing my hair to fall out because the wheels are turning. And I'm stressed. And all of a sudden, I realize I need to call somebody. I need to get with somebody. I need to talk. I need to be around people. Somehow, we need to be around people. So it's easier to stand strong if you don't stand alone. And number four, believers who build their lives on the Bible may be persecuted, but we will never be defeated. Those of us who build our lives on the Bible may be persecuted, but we will never be defeated. In the last days, times are tough. In these days, times are tough. But it's going to get tougher. You're so encouraging. Oh, it's going to get harder. Laugh about it. Because today is easy in comparison. It's going to get harder. And that's why we're prepared. You know, I thought I had it in my notes here, but what Paul did was he prepared Timothy for what was ahead. Consider what would happen, and I had an illustration of making a pie, and you don't have all the ingredients for a pie, and so it doesn't turn out the way that you want it to turn out. But a better illustration of that is there's a hurricane coming. How do you prepare for a hurricane? You start boarding up things. You make sure that you have provisions. You make sure that you have changed your position if you need to. You've gone to higher ground if you need to. You are prepared for the storm to come. What happens if you're not prepared for the storm to come? You can be washed away. Maybe put that as a tidal wave. You can be washed out to sea. Preparation, always being prepared. In the last days, times will be tough. Only the strong will survive, but God has given us two advantages. He told us what will happen, and he told us what to do. He told us what will happen, and he told us what to do. Build your life on the Word of God, and you will survive the coming days, the coming hard times. You will survive. You will survive. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, endure hardness as good soldiers, always on active duty, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, and don't get tangled up in this world. Don't let all of the information that's coming at you, don't get tangled up in it. Don't allow it to tangle you up. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, for your presence with us. I thank you, God, that you are faithful. We thank you, Father, for tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your grace that you pour out on us so much, Lord. And thank you that you allow us to give ourselves grace, and you remind us that we're doing okay. And so, Lord, help us to walk in your ways and to follow after those who follow after you. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts. The places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. Giving up, letting go.